Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
There's a saying that you can't manage what you can't measure, and you can't improve what you don't know. And that's what a quality framework is all about. We'll be talking today about the ACES accreditation framework, which many community services organisations need to achieve to get funding. We've got Marie Davidson, MD of Highwire Group, joining us on this podcast episode. Marie, your organisation, Highwire, it has been well-versed in accreditation for a number of years. Can you talk to us about your involvement and what led you to be involved, and indeed, what is ACES accreditation?
Excellent. ACES accreditation, Australian Service Excellence Standards accreditation, is a quality framework developed for the community services sector, developed in South Australia, and is used by many organisations to take a look at the systems and processes that are driving quality outcomes in their organisation. It's a three-year cycle of accreditation. That means every 3 years, an external assessor would come along and have a look at all of those systems and processes and see if they've been maintained. And Highwire is one of those external assessors.
And Marie, what led you down this path? Do you have a background in quality accreditation? I know when we look at many of these systems, we look at ISO 9000, but then the aged care sector has their own accreditation. There's a number of specific accreditations for sectors, aren't there?
There are. In fact, I'm feeling like accreditation is the new black. It's that everybody's talking about it, everybody's sort of concerned about it, and it has been around for a long time. You know, if you think about using the term sort of standards or quality assurance to describe what we're talking about when we talk about accreditation, it has been around for a long time. And the reason I'm involved is because I'm a bit of a quality nut. And I know that I am I'm in good company there. I know there are lots and lots of quality nuts listening. And those are the sort of people that are very, very concerned with making sure that organisations run the best they can in order for the people in the organisations to do their very best work, which is with the clients and the community. So I have seen accreditation support that. I've seen accreditation make a bit of a difference in organisations and enable them to focus on the things they're passionate about, such as, you know, getting those great outcomes.
And, of course, quality frameworks do differ across different sectors, but the basic premise is there, is that you're trying to look for improvement, improve the processes, and you can't do that unless that's documented, unless it's monitored, and then reviewed for those improvements.
Absolutely agree, and that's the reason why it's cyclical, because what it's trying to encourage is, I suppose, embedding of processes around continuously improving. So, yes, every framework would have a set of requirements. The Service Excellence Framework happens to have 100. That's a nice round number, isn't it?
Well, it's a big number, Marie.
It's a big number. I was slightly happier when it started out with 98, but now it's 100. And what that gives you, I suppose, is a bit of a checklist. And this would be the same for any accreditation programs that people might have been involved in, is that you have a look at yourself against all those requirements. You'll be getting, you know, you'll be giving yourself many ticks through the self-assessment process, and then you would invite in an external party to, you know, impartially sort of assess you or make a judgment about you against those requirements. So just like any test, that can be a little bit sort of daunting and even scary. We work pretty hard as an assessing body to try to make it as easy as possible. Accreditation's never easy, I suppose, but to make it smooth and to ensure that there's a bit of impact from people's engagement in the process.
And Marie, is it only applicable to community centres, a specific accreditation, ACES?
No, it's really been growing, particularly over the last 5 years. It's now Australia-wide, whereas, you know, for a long time, the majority of organisations that would be accredited under Service Excellence would have been in South Australia, maybe a smattering across other states, but largely in South Australia, there's been the best take-up.
What I'm interested in is, does it only apply to community centres?
Oh, yeah.
But you're saying that it doesn't. Others involved in the community sector can also apply for and get this accreditation.
Yeah. It's really built for community services sector organisations in that it's about getting great outcomes with your clients or with your community, as opposed to some other frameworks that might be about getting a shiny product off the end of a production line, you know? So in terms of a quality assurance framework, It works really well for any sized community sector organisation, from a really tiny volunteer-run community centre to, as we have done recently, most of the big councils, the big local government councils, are opting in as well. As well as, you know, some of the really big five NGOs, you know, the Salvation Army and Catholic Cares and the Missions and those sorts of organisations also embracing it.
Well, we indeed, as a peak body for community centres, have ACES accreditation ourselves, as do many of our independent as well as council members, as you've said. Marie, what I'm keen to explore is, because ISO 9000 is a very generic standard that was put in from manufacturing, but was very difficult to apply to a service human-based organisation. Mm. How does ACES achieve that tailoring to make it easier for people to understand the system they're trying to implement?
Well, it is all about the outcome for the client. So every indicator is directed towards improving outcomes for clients. So if you take an, I'm going to take an indicator off the top of my head, which is about strategic planning. One of the indicators says, do you have a strategic plan in place that's been developed with key stakeholders? Now, that is about, you know, having a plan for how your organisation wants to grow and develop and be sustainable to be there for the clients and the community. So it is all focused on improving outcomes for clients. You know, I feel really proud to be involved in something that can have, well, potentially have an impact in communities.
So what do community service sector organisations tell you about the impact of accreditation? What has it done for those client outcomes?
Well, number one, if you want to talk about staying around, fortunately or unfortunately, it is a bit of a mandatory requirement for many funded organisations, government-funded organisations now. So by maintaining your accreditation, you are maintaining your opportunity to receive funding. So that's a bit obvious.
Very critical.
One out of the way. It is critical. And number two, as I said, it becomes a framework for your good practice. It becomes a framework to hang all of your strengths on and then to easily identify where you might want to put your improvement effort. So you might say, oh, look, you know, we've got 67 out of 100 there. We're going to focus our effort on those ones there that need a bit of development. So it gives you, you know, it gives you that sort of visual, if you like. And organisations tell us that through the various cycles. So you've got some organisations in South Australia, some of your members, Kerry, who are third and fourth cycle. So they've been engaged with this accreditation framework since the very beginning, since its inception. And they will have developed systems where they can really take their eyes off the running of the organisation. You know, it sort of starts to run itself, if you like. If you get those systems in place, accreditation will just be a little blip, you know, in every 3 years. Oh, the assessor will come, but everything will be maintained. So it does give you that opportunity to sort of have a look at how that could happen for your organisation. And the fourth one is it gives you a sort of a targeted or a planned approach to things like partnership development and meaningful collaboration, and it can help you to implement internal audit practices where you're checking your own systems before the assessor comes, you know, so there's those sorts of impacts.
Let's step back then and look at that strategic side of it then, Marie. Let's look at the impact on building workforce capacity, because that's something that when you're trying to balance, it's a cost. People are always a cost, and therefore they need to be working at their most efficient. How does a process like going through ACES accreditation help with that?
Well, what I've noticed, and, you know, I have been at this for a long time. I've been working with the framework since it was a baby as well. But what I've seen and what I promote is that through involving many people in the organisation in the preparation for accreditation, so let's say you've got your next accreditation coming up in a year. Well, what we can do now is start the self-assessment and we can involve everyone in the organisation in that self-assessment. One example that I saw, a very large organisation, and this was through COVID, so people weren't coming in and having meetings, but they started a little Teams conversation and the person who was leading the accreditation would post a question each week, and the question was about one of those 100 indicators. And it just simply said, if we wanted to show evidence of this, how would we show it? And, you know, they had a lot of people in the organisation and people weighed it in and they were able to talk about their own practice. So it helps people to learn more about the organisation, I suppose, in terms of developing people's knowledge of your organisation. That's one good way. It can provide opportunities for individuals in your organisation to lead different improvement projects. So, you know, you might be seeing emerging leaders in your organisation. There might be a volunteer who's got a particular skill, and lots of different people could be leading these small improvement projects and then coming together and sort of, you know, updating each other. So that leads me to talk about things like project management skills and improving communication skills across the team. We can also learn more about quality management systems, the sorts of things that really do help to drive quality outcomes. Even things like improving internal auditing practice, which sounds a bit fancy pants, but really is just about making sure that all the must-dos are getting done, you know, which leads me to sort of a better and deeper understanding of risk management. So I just think there's a lot that people can learn by being involved, even on the edges, I think.
And Marie, I hear the benefits. That's a great list. One thing that can be of concern with this process is it works very well within a large organisation because they have the resources. But for a small organisation to implement something like ACES accreditation, it's a big journey with a lot of paperwork and very difficult to manage. Can you talk to that, please?
Yes. Well, I think, it can be overwhelming, but if you work with your external assessor, and I can only talk about our approach, but our approach is to help you to find the evidence that tells your story in many different ways. So people think it's all about documents, but it's actually not all about documents. There's many ways that you can tell the story about how you're having an impact in your community, how you're getting quality outcomes with your clients, and how you've got your sort of, you know, administrative or back of house kind of management and governance processes in good nick. And that can be through showing us the documents that you have, but can also be through interviews. You know, we'll talk to various people and we'll find out how things get done. It can also be through showing us around. Many organisations decide to give us a bit of a showcase, you know, where they have a couple of case studies and they talk us through the case studies, which, you know, because we are experienced assessors, we're picking out the evidence from the stories and we're connecting them with all of the indicators. So I don't want people to be worried. We've looked at things like videos and photographs and, you know, we've attended groups in order to talk with clients about, you know, how they see the service as a quality service through their own lens. There's many ways that you can demonstrate compliance with those requirements.
I'm talking today to Marie Davidson, Managing Director of Highwire Group, an organisation that assists other organisations in the community services sector with ACES accreditation. Marie, what are some of the most common gaps that you see? Because, I mean, you talked about a 100-point list. That's a big list for an organisation to go through to see that they meet.
Yes. Well, I want to also highlight the strengths because across your sector, and many of the assessors on my team come from your sector, we want to say that consistently we see strength across planning. So we see strengths across strategic planning and operational planning and risk planning and all those sorts of plans that, you know, that help you get where you want to go. So we see strengths there. We always see strengths across financial management. We always see strengths across collaboration, teamwork and working with volunteers, like, you know, without a doubt, we always see that sort of, you know, impactful relationships at the community level. But there are some what we call high-risk areas, and they're high-risk for us because they often appear as gaps when we undertake an assessment. And so, I've got these themes in my head. And what they are, the top three I'm going to give you, are governance systems. Now, that's not to say that there's not good governance, but it is to say that sometimes the governance policies and procedures are not documented. And the other thing that's a little bit of a gap there in governance is that governance performance is not evaluated. And there is a specific requirement that the governing body assesses its own performance. You know, it sort of has a look at itself and says, how can we improve? And that's often a gap. The other gap is risk management plans. They're sometimes a bit underbaked. You know, they might focus on slips, trips and falls, whereas we know there's a lot more risk.
So, Marie, we did have a little thing called COVID that nobody probably had on their risk plan.
True, and there's everybody's put it on there now, and that's a good sort of a lesson. There's probably a lot of things that we haven't thought about that could present a risk to us. And I'm thinking about a risk as anything that's going to stop you from achieving your vision, really, or your objectives as an organisation. We want to see risk plans that are regularly updated and that identify the wide range of risks, and we often don't see that. And sometimes we don't see a business continuity plan that's beyond COVID, you know. So there's lots of other things that could occur that could bring you undone on that worst day, and we want to see a bit of a plan.
And you had a number three, Marie. What's number three?
Number three is performance appraisals and professional development planning. That's not to say it doesn't happen, but the requirement is that every person has a performance appraisal. So it's up to you what it looks like. It's up to the organisation what that looks like. But it's a two-way process and it talks about the employee's progress, the terms, and meeting the terms of their employment and their personal professional goals, and that that be supported by a professional development plan. So that's quite specific, and sometimes we see gaps in that.
Well, the last thing I wanted, Marie, for you to help our listeners with, because there'll be many people in the community sector listening to this podcast, is what are your three top tips for accreditation success?
Rightio, here we go. If it's not obvious already, involve the whole team. Many hands make light work. So don't give it to the quality person over in the corner, because that'll just kill them and that will minimise your opportunity to develop your capacity and your capability. Start early. If you've got your accreditation coming up, even in 2 years' time, it's not too early to start. If it's your first time, which I doubt, most of your members are in their second and third cycle, but maintaining those internal audit processes, you know, maintaining the checking is my big tip. Don't just sort of every 3 years it becomes an event. It's an opportunity to think about maintaining some of those internal audit and sort of checking monitoring processes that would support your success. And number three, communicate progress. It can be very motivating for people to see where we're up to and what we're doing and what percentage of our self-assessment we feel that we've nailed and, you know, all those sorts of things. If I can sneak a fourth in there, it would be work with other organisations, develop communities of practice. Everybody's doing it. And so there's lots to be shared.
Very good advice, Marie. Now, there's a big area for people to go through. You not only go out as assessors, but you also assist organisations. So perhaps let us know how people can get in touch and what services you provide.
Yes, well, we will provide anything that you need to help your organisation grow. So we're called Organisational Development Consultants. There's a team of nine of us, and we're all from the community services sector. We've all been managers in the community services sector, so we get it. And we want to help you with anything that your organisation needs to grow and be strong. You can get in touch with us through our website. Just go to thehighwiregroup.com and you'll find us there. And we've recently, Kerry probably wants to tell you about this, but we've recently developed a whole heap of capacity building resources for members to access through the Community Centres SA website there. So keep an eye out for the capacity building, service excellence resources, webinars, and even a policy and procedure framework. So some good news there for people who are looking for a bit of extra help.
Well, we've just done a great project, haven't we, where you have run webinars for our members and produced those templates, and we've really looked at those high-risk areas and where there can be gaps, and that's been very successful. Our members have been very grateful for that work that you've done.
We enjoyed it. Thanks so much, Kerry, for the opportunity to continue working with you and your members.
Thank you for joining us today. Marie Davidson, MD of Highwire Group. Thank you for being on this podcast episode.
All the best, everyone.
Thanks for listening. These podcasts bring you stories from across the state of South Australia, all of the great work being done in our communities and general topics of community interest. Feel free to share these podcasts with your networks and send us any feedback to info@communitycentressa.asn.au.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.